We all love mob movies. Scarface, The Godfather, the list goes on and on. But there's one movie that speaks to me above all others. Donnie Brasco starring Johnny Depp. In season one of Deep Cover, we discovered the real story behind Donnie's time undercover with the New York Mafia and what it was like spending 6 years with some of the wildest wise guys you'll ever come across. I'm your host, Leo Rossi, and I've spent my life behind and in front of the cameras, creating stories about the mob. This season, we're going even deeper into the Donnie Brasco story. We'll learn more about the man behind the persona, Joe Pistone, and his time as the most decorated undercover agent in FBI history.
This week on Deep Cover, the real Donnie Brasco. We all thought when Joe quit the FBI that he was done for good, but walking away from a life you've known for so long is easier said than done. Joe tells us about his decision to return to the Bureau and exactly what he had to go through to once again become Special Agent Joe Pistone.
All right, everybody out there, our loyal listeners, we love y'all. This is Deep Cover, the real Donnie Brasco. I'm Leo Rossi, and we have my partner, the man, Joseph D. Pistone, a.k.a. Donnie Brasco. How you doing, Joe?
Fine, Leo. How are you today? Lovely afternoon. Lovely afternoon.
It is. I'm psyched. Sorry I had to bring you in from the porch and all your animals and all that stuff, but you're inside. That's good. We're going to talk about the final phase of, I mean, you served the FBI for 15 years and then you quit.
17
before you quit, right?
Yep.
Okay, 17 before you quit. And we're going to get the final chapter. And it's going to be very informative and actually emotional.
Well, just the final chapter, me going back. It's not my final chapter.
No. Hey, Joe, you're going to bury us all. Trust me. He's got blood pressure like, I don't know, 100 over 60. Anyway, Bob Dylan, song that applies to, I think, what we're going to be talking about. And the lyrics, just one verse. Might like to wear cotton. Might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey. Might like to drink milk. You might like to eat caviar. You might like to eat bread. You may be sleeping on the floor or sleeping in a king-size bed. But, you know, you're going to have to serve somebody. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. That is, Joe, and that's what you did for the FBI. You served them loyally.
Yes, I did.
And I still got a burr up my ass, the way things went down. But here's the thing. The trials are over.
They're not all over.
You had to go and do, but you weren't on the payroll anymore, and you did it because that's who you are.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, exactly. But I, you know, even after I went back in, I still had a couple other trials to deal with.
Okay, there were still things open. Okay. It just gives you, the people out there, how long a process of a trial, the commission trials, you had so many people on the stand, so many defense attorneys. Holy hell. So now when did you decide to go back?
Well, Leo, you know, I was out for several years, a couple of years. And again, I was working for the, when I say working, I was doing the trials. I still went back to Quantico and gave undercover lectures on organized crime. And I was still dealing with the attorneys, et cetera, et cetera. My buddy Jules always said, you know, you got to come back, you know. And I said, no, I'm not ready yet.
And Jules was your rabbi. He was the guy that you dealt with, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Jules was the guy you dealt with when you were undercover.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Jules was my man. I mean, Jules looked out for me, took care of me. And a few other guys, one of my former undercover partners, Steve. Steve always told me, you know, you're crazy. You got to come back. And a few other, you know, individuals.
Did you miss it?
I missed the guys. Yeah. I missed the agents I was working with. But I still was involved with him. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't part of the family, so to speak. So one of my close friends passed away. He actually got killed in an airplane crash going to a SWAT meeting. And so I flew up to Boston to attend the wake. And after the wake, we were at the repass, and there was an assistant director there that I knew. I wasn't good friends with him, but I knew him. And we start talking. He said, "You ever going to come back?" I said, "Would you welcome me back?" And he said, "What are you kidding?" I said, "Of course." I said, "Okay." And his first name was Floyd. I said, "What do I have to do?" He said, "Well," he said, "contact your local office, and they'll know you're going to contact them and get the application." I said, "Okay."
The application.
The application to apply. I had to reapply. Now, I don't know if you ever seen an application. Well, now they're all online, I think, you know, but back then, you know, it was probably 20 pages, 25 pages. So I sat down and typed out the whole application, 25 pages. I don't know how long it was.
Like, they didn't have all this information. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, they did. Well, sure. But, you know, and let me say this, the FBI does not take retreads. And what a retread is somebody that leaves and then wants to come back. Very few individuals get back in once they leave. Okay. So I do all the paperwork, and the application is from the day you were born right up until the day you're filling that application out. You know, it's your parents, your siblings, your relatives. It's a very thorough application process. I fill it out. I bring it to my local office, and my friend was one of the administrators there. So he says, "Okay," he said, "I'll send it up." He went over and he said, "All right, you know, it looks good." So he said, I'll send it to Washington. 3 weeks, a month goes by, I don't hear anything. So I'm figuring, how long does it take him to?
Yeah, you're not like an unknown quantity. You know, you're not an unknown quantity. Jeez.
Hardly. So I get a telephone call from my former partner, Steve. And he said, "Joe, you hear anything from your application yet?" I said, "No, Steve, I didn't hear anything." He said, "Well, you better call Jules or somebody," he said, "because it's sitting on so-and-so's desk, and he don't know what the hell to do with it." I said, "What do you mean you don't know what the hell to do with it?" Steve said, "I got a call from somebody at headquarters, said, hey, you know, you better tell Joe that his application's on so-and-so's desk, and it's just sitting there." I guess he wasn't clued in.
I think a lot of people weren't clued in.
So I think I called Jules. It had to be him. I mean, I don't know who else I would have called. I mentioned that to him. He goes through the roof. He says, "I'll handle it." Finally, he calls me back and he said, I handled it. It's on its way up. So, you know, it has to go through the whole process. Well, finally, they finally sign off on it. The next thing they have to do is a background investigation. So now they got to reinvestigate me from day one.
Oh, this is getting good, Joe. This is getting good.
But they were good because they have to go and investigate everywhere you lived, and et cetera, et cetera. So where I was living at the time, the agent calls me, you know, who was doing that part of the background in the town I was living in. And she was good. She said, "Joe, I got your, you know, I got this part of your application." And what they do neighborhoods and credit checks, police checks. She says, "What do you want me to tell your neighbors? You know, they don't know who I am." I said, "Just tell them I'm applying for a job in the government." And she said, "Okay."
Because you were having, you had your other name, right, Joe? You had your other name that you were using.
Well, I had several.
You weren't using your, yeah.
Yeah, every time I moved, I was using a different name. In fact, she said, "What name are you living there under?" And I told her, you know, so. And everybody was good. You know, everybody that had a piece of the background was good. That took a few months. I get a letter saying, you know, "You've been reinstated. Report to new agents training, Quantico, Virginia." I think it was May the 9th was my EOD on that second time around. So
could I interrupt you for a second, Joe?
Yeah.
Did you say new? They said you were, you know, a new recruit?
Oh, yeah. New Age is training.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Come on, well, guys. New agents.
I get a call from an assistant director, and he said, you know, you've been reinstated. The caveat is you got to go through new agents training. You got to, I think at that time it was 18 weeks. He said, you got to do the whole 18 weeks at Quantico.
My mouth is wide open.
What they normally do, if they do take somebody back in, they'll take them up until the firearms training. I mean, this is back then. I'm not talking about the present day. I don't know how they operate the present day. So once they passed the firearms training, then they sent them out to their field office. Now, I was in shape, Leo. I mean, I wasn't worried about the physical part because the physical part is pretty tough. I mean, they put you through a pretty good physical routine. But I was always in shape, so it didn't bother me.
Give me an example, Joe. You know, the running, jumping, weights, what?
You had to do so many push-ups in, I don't know if it was 2 minutes. You had to do so many chin-ups both ways, backhand, forehand. You had to run. You did boxing. I mean, you did swimming. It was a pretty rigorous physical training that they put you through. So my first question was, well, you want me to do the 18 weeks? Yeah. So he said, what kind of shape? I said, I'm in pretty good shape. I said, you know, I always work out. I'm still lifting weights. I'm still running. I said, I got one question. What are you going to pay me? He said, whatever grade you were when you left. I said, you're going to pay me that money to sit in a classroom and get instructions? You're going to pay me that kind of money to go through this training class? New agents? He said, yeah. I said, I'm in.
Wait a minute. That is the height of bureaucracy. That's bureaucracy. You probably were tested on stuff that you implemented in the FBI. Probably some of it was your stuff.
Yeah. So I report on a Friday or a Saturday. You meet on a Sunday. And this is at the FBI Academy at Quantico. Now, a friend of mine was the assistant director of the academy. And he knew I was coming because, he and I had talked and everything. And because you room two people to a room. So he said, hey, you're lucky. Carl's coming back in. Now, Carl was a former agent, left to become a chief of police in a town, and then decided to come back. So he said, you're lucky because you and Carl are going to room together. So that was good because, you know, I was rooming with a guy that was close to my age because don't forget, I'm dealing now with new agents that are anywhere from 24 to the oldest probably was 28.
I mean, these are young bucks.
Oh, young. Yeah.
They're young bucks, man.
Yeah. So we're there and, you know, what you do is everybody gets up, introduces themselves and they don't know me. I had a little joke and going with the assistant director because I said he was my buddy. So, you know, like he says to me, kind of old to be here, aren't you, kid? You know, I said, yeah, a little bit. And everybody's looking at it. And I mean, look, when you're a new agent, you're scared of death of an assistant director or an SAC or deputy director. I mean, you know, and they're wondering, they're like, who the hell is this guy that's conviction with the assistant director? So, you know, and you sit in class, your classes are the law, all the statutes that you investigate, and a lot of stuff. I did it for 17 years. And you know, you have handcuffing exercises, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the first day in the gym, now I had been running, but, you know, I was running like maybe 4 or 5 miles a day.
That ain't bad, Joe. That's not bad. 4 or 5 miles a day, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good for me back then. I mean, I couldn't run 4 miles now. But the first day they have you do a shuttle run. You know, they put up the cones and it's the length of the basketball court and you have to run, you know, in between the cones. Well, I go down, on the way back, you know, you have to go down and then back and bang, I pull my hamstring.
Oh,
I can't walk.
Joe, that injury, you just see the ball players. Some of them have to sit out half a season or almost a full season with a pulled hamstring.
Yep. I mean, I couldn't walk. So at the time, they had a trainer at the academy. And like I say, I'm sure they have one now, too. I don't know. His name was Jack, a great guy. He used to be he was in the NBA for years as a trainer in the NBA, and then he retired. He went to work for the FBI. So he takes me into the training room and he says, "Man, that's bad." He said, You gotta stay off of that. I said, I can't stay off it. So he wraps it, ices it, wraps it. He says, "Okay, come back tomorrow morning and I'll work on you, you know." But now I still have to go to class, but I still have to do everything in the gym, because if you don't, they put you out. And every so many weeks you have a test. I had no problem with the, you know, academics, because it was all stuff that I did for 17 years. But every so many weeks, I don't know what it was. You have to pass the push-up test. You have to pass the pull-up test. You know, you got to do so many sit-ups in X amount of minutes, and you got to run. I'd go out, and Jack, you know, Jack was working on me every day, but I could just about walk.
Did he tape up the hamstring area?
Taped it.
Yeah.
He rubbed it. He did everything. The guy was terrific. But he said, "You got a bad pull." He said, "You know," he said, "the only thing that cures these, he said, you gotta stay off it." And I said, "Jack, you know, I can't, because, you know, I'm gone." So I always pass all the push-ups, the pull-ups, the sit-ups, but I can never pass the run. But, you know, you ran every day. You ran 2, 3, 4 miles every day anyway. And I could, you know, I'd end up just walking. I'd end up running maybe 100 yards, and then I'd have to walk, and everybody's way ahead of me, and I'm walking it.
Joe, let me ask you one thing. Were people breaking your balls because you were in the back of the pack? Was anybody, you know, these are young bucks. They don't know who you are.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Nobody in the class. The class was, once they found out who I was, it was no. My classmates were terrific. In fact, I used to have study groups sometimes with them, because, you know, I mean, I knew all the I knew all the material, you know.
They were picking your brain.
Yeah. I did have a phys ed instructor, you know, the guy that was our phys ed guy. I don't know why, for some reason he didn't like me. I don't have any idea. I never knew the guy. I didn't know him before. He was a younger guy, and he kept breaking my chops.
Deep Cover will be right back after this short message. And we're back with Deep Cover.
There was another guy in the gym too, another guy that I had no, you know, I never saw this guy before in my life. I don't know why he didn't take a liking and why he didn't like me. And he would tell me, you know, "You ought to just quit. You know, why are you wasting everybody's time?" I said, "Whose time am I wasting? I'm not wasting your time." I said, "I'm doing everything but running." I said, "So leave me alone." And there were other instructors that were great. I mean, a couple of them gave me the keys to their office. They said, "Hey, look, you know, you can come in here at, you know, after hours and sit in our office and, you know, and read and study." And, you know, there were just two that were a pain in the ass.
Was this like the gunslinger mentality when you got a reputation? These guys wanted to, you know, the gunslinger thing, like they wanted to draw with you?
I guess, Leo, I don't know. I don't know, because, like I say, I didn't know these guys before I went into the FBI. I didn't know these. And these guys were not in the FBI. These guys were maybe 8-10 years on the job. You know what I mean? Huh. So I'm out running one day, and, you know, I ended up always running at the back with the females in the class. So one day a guy comes up to me, and like I said, this guy didn't have any idea who I was, right? And he was another instructor helping out the main instructor. He comes up to me and he says, "Come on, get going, get your ass going." And I said, "I'm going when I'm going." And he said to me, I'm not going to say the word, but he said, "What are you, A?" And I said, "Did I just hear what I think I heard?" I said, "Come here." And everybody stops. I said, "I want to tell you something. Don't you ever talk to me like that again." I said, "Because you have no idea who you're effing with." I said, "None at all." I said, "So just keep running and keep your mouth shut. Okay?" So I go through the whole, you know, I had no problem anywhere on the firearms, anywhere. And the guys on the range were great. Everybody was, you know, except these two guys. And I don't know what their beef was. I don't have the slightest idea what their beef was. So now you have a final exam. You know, you have a final exam in your push-ups, a final exam in your sit-ups, a final exam in your pull-ups. And you have, you know, your final exam in running. Like I say, you got to run the mile. And Jack is working on me like crazy for the whole 18 weeks. If I don't pass this mile run, I'm done. So we do the mile run, and I miss it by like 6 seconds.
You still did this run with that hamstring pulled, and you still only missed it by 6 seconds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I got to hear the end to this. Go ahead.
So this guy, you know, he's happy, right? But Tony, the assistant director, says, we're going to give him one more shot. Tony said, when you want to run? I said, tomorrow. I said, Jack, what are we going to do? He said, I'm not going to tape you tomorrow. He said, I'm going to rub you down tonight. I'm going to give you the liniment on it tonight. Come down in the morning and I'll rub the liniment on it again, but we're not going to tape it. Okay. Now I'm the only one going to run it because everybody else passed, right? So the whole class is there, which made me feel good. And I could see that the instructor, the gym guy, you know, he's like, you're done, pal, because, you know.
I love this.
Well, Leo.
This story is going good, baby.
I beat it by 18 seconds.
Yo, my man.
I felt like going up to him and giving him the old Italian salute, you know. But I didn't. I just... When the clocker said, you got it, beat it by 18 seconds, I said, thank you very much, and I walked away.
Well, you know, there's one thing about this story that I can feel good about for you, and you're my buddy forever, is that they put you through all that bullshit. I know there was the rules, and you went by the rules, but at least you were getting paid your old grade. These other guys were probably making $200 a week.
And like I said, my classmates were great, every one of them. Every instructor was great except these two guys. And the funny thing is I used to see them because when I graduated, guess where I got assigned?
Go ahead. Where?
To the FBI Academy. To the FBI Academy. So I would see these guys all the time, and I never talked to them, but I mean, it was like the old Italian salute, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, while I was in training school, I was giving classes on organized crime and undercover. So I'm a student and I'm lecturing.
Oh, that's good. You take off one hat. That is terrific, man. And
they wouldn't let me lecture to my class. But I lectured the, you know, in service classes. So it was good. It was good. And like I say, when I graduated, you know, I got my new creds. I get assigned to Quantico. I see these two guys every day. And I walk by and give them a little smirk, you know.
There is justice. There's justice in this world. Thank God.
Well, I'm lucky I had a good trainer. Jack was a good trainer. You know, he knew what to do and he took care of me. And, you know, Leo, what made me really, really made me feel good was I had several students come up to me and say, you know, we read your book because my book was out. You're the reason that we joined the FBI. How good does that make you feel?
Bona salut.
I had one other incident, and I was in the gym working out. There's three guys working out in there. These guys were big. You could tell that they were SWAT guys. And I didn't know them. They didn't know me. So, you know, when you're in a gym, you bench press and everybody takes a shot, right? I mean, it's your time to bench and then you get up, leave. Then, you know, so I'm waiting for my turn. And at the time, a good friend of mine, Al, ran the gym. Great guy. So these guys are not letting me in. I said, oh, it's my shot to, you know, to do the bench. So the guy says, oh, we're in a hurry. You know, we're on a training thing. And I said, I don't care who you are or where you are. It's the protocol in the gym. You switch on and off. I said, I'm next on that bench. Now, I could see Al looking He's standing in the doorway. I said, "You an agent?" The guy says, "Yeah." I says, "Well, so am I. So we're both the same here." So I walk over to the dumbbell rack. I pick up 2 10-pounders and I said, "I'm next." The guy says, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to hit you over the head with these dumbbells." So they're looking at me like, "Who's this bad man?" So Al walks in. They said, "Hey, Al." So Al says, "Guys, I advise you to let him get his turn because he will hit you over the head with the dumbbells." And then we became friends. Yeah. So then Al says, "Hey, you know," he introduces us and the guys go, "Oh." So I made 3 good friends, you know, from guys I didn't know.
Look, I can understand, Joe, why the FBI, they had their rules and they weren't going to cut anything special for you. And like you said, very few. What did you call? What was that term? The guys that get out and come back in? That very rare.
Retreads.
Yeah, that's not a nice name either. Retreads. I mean, it played out beautifully. I salute you, man, because first of all, I played football and a hamstring is, you can't do anything. It saps your strength. And the only way, and your buddy Jack said it, the only way to heal it, stay off it. And you couldn't do that for 18 weeks. Ah, damn, babe.
Outside of tearing my Achilles, that was the worst pain I was in.
Yeah, and the Achilles, that puts you on a shelf for a year.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it did. Yeah, because I severed it completely. Rolled right up my leg.
How long were you teaching at Quantico before you went back to undercover?
Well, I went back to undercover while I was at Quantico.
Oh.
I did go back. Yeah, but a lot of it was as a secondary guy. I would go out to an office and, you know, be the secondary undercover or go overseas.
Now, there's questions that I have here that I got to ask you. I mean, and this is, you know, now you're back in, thank God. And you obviously, everybody out there knows you paid your dues in that 18 weeks. Looking back, we talked about different things that you missed. You missed a lot of family events, you know, like with your daughters. And you even said in one of the things that horrible accident that Maggie, your wife, was in. I mean, did you ever think about all those events?
Oh, sure. I think about them till today. I mean, I still think about them. One time I got home, my youngest daughter was having her communion, first Holy Communion. And I check in with Lefty. Now, you got to remember, I'm out west. I check in with Lefty. He thinks I'm, you know, I'm out seeing my girlfriend out west. And he says, "You got to get down to Miami. We got a piece of work. We're coming in. You got to pick us up at the airport." They had a hit set up. So, man, you know, I got to tell my wife, "Hey, I got to catch a red eye here and I got to get to Miami."
Ah.
So I sneak out. I can't say goodbye to anybody because, you know, I get to Miami, rent a car, go to the airport. Nobody's on the plane. Nobody's on the plane. When I say nobody, you know, none of the guys from New York. I call Lefty. He's, "Oh, we called it off." I said, "When did you know you called it off?" "Oh, we knew yesterday." I said, "You don't think to call me? You don't think to call me that you called it off?" I mean, I miss birthdays, graduations, confirmations, anniversaries, you name it, I missed it.
Let me ask you straight out. Was it worth it?
Was it worth it? Well, Leo, everything turned out good. So I have to say it was worth it. You know, I did my job. Everybody did their job. Nobody really screwed up. It came out good. Who went through that looking glass? Alice went through a looking glass.
Yeah, yeah.
And she went in one side and come out the other. Well, I went through that looking glass, Leo. I became a wise guy, and it was one hell of a ride. It was one hell of a ride during that 6 years.
I thank you personally, Joe, for bearing that, your soul to us, and that it turned out the way it did. Terrific. We are going to move on. Our next episodes, we are going to talk to another friend of Joe's. Joe's the friend of the whole world, except for those two guys. but he is an FBI. He works with the FBI. He's a psychiatrist. He works with other agencies. We're going to talk to him. We're going to go. We've talked about Joe's, you know, foreign work in Russia, you know, and we're going to go to his foreign work in London and in third world countries and the different rules there. But I guess the rules are no rules, right?
That's right. The rules are the rules of that country.
Yeah. So in the meantime, everybody, thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.
God bless.
Next week on Deep Cover, Leo and Joe are joined by an old colleague of Joe's, criminal psychiatrist, Dr. Frank. They get deep inside the mind of a gangster. Dr. Frank explains what the difference is between what goes on in the mind of a mobster and those of serial killers. Thanks to our producer, Monique Nethington, sound designer, Casey Franco, music and voiceover by me, Camille Stennis, and executive producers, Maddie Stout, Rudy Solo, and MBB Media for putting this episode together. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for more Deep Cover updates, plus exclusive photos and content.